Well, thank you for joining us. You've tuned into Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, as always, joined by Kent Steinbeck, coming to you from Dallas, Texas, iconic Herb's House. And we've got a great study in store. So I want you to take your Bible right now. John 15, verse 6. Title of this is Unfruitful Branches. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a heavy for a devotion, but it's in the Bible, so you got to hang with us on this, all right? John 15, verse 6, here we go. Jesus in the upper room, addressing his disciples after Judas has left, says this, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So, Kent, here's the question. Is it possible for someone to claim to be a Christian and not to abide in Christ? For someone to claim to be a Christian and there is no fruit in their life, is that even possible? Well, Jesus addresses that head on. And the reason he does so is to explain to the other 11 disciples Judas. Judas has now left the upper room to go and betray the Son of Man. And they are not going to be able to sort this out. So Jesus now gives this verse. I want us to walk through it step by step. He says, "If anyone does not abide in me," and what that means is, really does not have a real relationship with me, does not rest in me, and does not live his life trusting me and relying upon me, and does not remain in me. If anyone does not abide in me, Jesus says he's thrown away as a branch and dries up. That means that this supposed branch is dead and therefore worthless and does not bear fruit. And so Jesus says he's discarded and he's rejected because he's dried up. He's shriveled up, and here there is no spiritual life in him. There is no eternal life in him. So he's dead. And he says they gather them, these dead branches, and they're gathered by servants of the vine dresser. In this case, I think with other passages, that would be the angels at the end of the age gathering them and cast them into the fire. Well, that's not heaven. The fire here refers to the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. We would say hellfire. And it says they are burned, which really pictures they are always perishing, but they never perish. It is just an eternal state of continually being burned and perishing, and yet they never go into extinction, and they never perish. So what are we to make of this person? Well, I think very clearly that we should make of this person that this is someone who professes Christ but does not possess Christ. And the evidence is very clear that there's no fruit. There's no evidence of having a right relationship with Christ. And so is that even possible? It's interesting, in the next verse, he says, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." If there's no fruit, there's no proof that you're a disciple. So I think this is real cause for everyone watching this to really examine your life, and behind your profession of faith in Christ, is there the evidence of a changed and transformed life where there is the fruit of Christ-likeness being produced in your life, the fruit of answered prayer, the fruit of effective ministry? All of that is necessary to be seen in the life of a true believer. I think of Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And so it's not just saying that you're a Christian. There needs to be the evidence in your life that you really are a Christian. So, Kent, this is a heavy verse, but it's a verse that we need because churches are filled with people who are members of the church or attending church, but they've never really abided in Christ in the sense of having a personal relationship with Christ. So let's talk about this.
Steve, this really is the bottom line of the bottom line, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, this is...
this is the acid test.
Yeah. I guess my first question would be, as our viewers are thinking about this, would this be a person that is just doing whatever they want, or is this a person more that's looking like they're going to church, they're involved in Bible studies? What person... Or is it someone that says never professed Christ and doesn't go to church?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think both? What's he talking about?
Yeah, I think it can be both. Mm-hmm. I think in this context, because Judas has just left the upper room, that's someone who was with the other disciples for those 3 years, traveled with them, was involved in ministry. Judas was so respected, he was the treasurer of their ministry, kept up with the money. If the other disciples had said any one of them was really saved, they might have said Judas because he was so circumspect. However, he was the one who did not know the Lord.
Wow. Wow.
So I think the focus here is upon someone who's involved in Christian activity, mm-hmm. involved in Christian ministry, who's involved in Bible study. But that seed has never germinated inside of them, and they've never been born again with a new life from above. So that's a great question.
So follow up.
Yeah.
As we go to church and we meet our friends, and we go and we are in studies together, and we really are involved in church. All you're saying then, all these people, whether they're in our family or in church, actually, some may not be born again, and we need to be aware of that. Is that
absolutely? In fact, I think it's more than just some.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said in Matthew 7, "On the broad path are the many, mm-hmm. on the narrow path are the few, and the broad path with the many, those are the ones who are saying, 'Lord, Lord, did mm-hmm. we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, perform many wondrous works?'" So it's far more than what we can imagine, which is very sobering. And it just tells us you can have an inoculation of religion, but it keeps you from getting the real thing.
Sure, sure.
A little knowledge can really, if it's not applied, can keep you from coming to Christ.
Do we have time for two more questions?
Which we do, because they're coming from you, Kent.
All right. All right, one more question then, Steve. If that's the case, and God says there are people, the wheat among the, or tares among the wheat, and they're hard to distinguish, but we know when we go to church or when we go to Bible study or in which of the Christian fellowship some may not be, what is our responsibility? What should we be thinking?
Yeah.
And what should we do knowing that this is the case?
That is a great question. I think it's going to depend on the relationship you have with that person, just how frank you can be or how gentle you need to be. And it could even be a family member. Mm-hmm. It could be a child. It could be an in-law. And those are difficult because they're so close to home. I think you just try to get the ball rolling in a conversation about what it is to be a Christian and really the necessary evidence of the new birth.
So just keep talking about
it. Just keep talking and keep trying to direct the conversation to where you can talk about, tell me, when did you come to know Christ? Tell me how your life has changed mm-hmm. since you've come to know Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What thrills your heart right now?
Mm.
And in 1 John, there's about 7 or 8 evidences of the new birth.
Mm-hmm.
If somehow you could get on to that discussion, that would be very helpful. With other people, you may not know them as well, but you know them enough to realize we're just on a totally different wavelength, and I don't think you really understand what it is to be a Christian. You may have to do some bridge building mm-hmm. in that relationship. And I think being winsome and gracious and loving helps build that bridge to them. So we're not wanting to put them off. We're actually wanting to draw them in and allow ourselves to have some entrance into their sphere of influence. So only God can open those doors also of opportunity. I think we need to be sensitive not to force that. Yeah. Usually it's someone will have opportunity for follow-up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, Kent, thank you for that question. I just want to thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. This has been a very important devotion for us today. And I just pray that God will give you the assurance of your salvation if you're truly saved. And that assurance can only come from God Himself. And if you lack that assurance of salvation, it may be because you don't have that salvation. And so I would urge you to spend time with the Lord and call upon Him to show you where you stand with Him. Well, God bless you. I look forward to our next opportunity for us to have steadfast hope.